There are just 11 days left until the Iowa caucuses. The race to replace Barack Obama as president is really heating up. But according to our next guests, it's going to take more than a change in the occupant of the Oval Office to really make Washington work for the people. Trent Lott and Tom Daschle come from different political parties. They led their respective parties, Lott the Republicans and Daschle the Democrats, during some of the Senate's most contentious times. Lott was a senator from Mississippi, Daschle from South Dakota, and while in the Senate, they dealt with the Clinton impeachment, the Iraq War, and 9/11. Their new book is called Crisis Point: Why We Must and How We Can Overcome Our Broken Politics in Washington and Across America. And Trent Lott and Tom Daschle join us now in the studio. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
And this idea that government is not working today, doesn't this go back to the beginning of our country? There have always been fights, big fights.
Yeah, we talk about that in the book. We go back a little bit into history. Obviously, there were disagreements between Jefferson and Madison and Hamilton. And, of course, Tom reminds us about the Civil War period. It was very ugly before the war. And, of course, we had a war. We've had canings on the floor of the Senate. And, you know, we had one leader actually assassinated or shot in a duel.
Yeah.
But with Hamilton. And then we do have some difficult times in a more recent history, and we do talk about that. But in recent history, this is the worst I've seen in about 50 years. The dysfunction and the gridlock and the inability to address issues that really are very important to us, everything from criminal law reform to infrastructure needs, tax policy, it's gotten very, very difficult. So we outlined that, but the main part of the book is we want to talk about what we think are some things that can be done that would change
it. And we're going to get to that. But do you agree with that, Senator Daschle? And do you think that President Obama bears some responsibility right now? A lot of people are saying, and you say in the book, that he is not doing enough to reach out to Congress.
Well, the president expressed his lament just in the State of the Union just recently, acknowledging that he didn't do as much as he thought was necessary. There is plenty of blame to be spread around. There's no question that everybody, even Trent and I think, have. Records in history that I think could have been better. What we think we've learned from that is that there are certain lessons in the past. What are the best practices of good governance that are equally applicable now? And how might we use them in a different context? The times have changed. The media has changed. Money has changed. The airplane has changed things. So many different aspects of the way we legislate and govern is different. So we've got to recognize that and try to find ways to get to better governance and more civility.
Well, one of the relationships that you point out was effective was that between Ronald Reagan and the Speaker of the House at the time, Tip O'Neill. I want to listen to a little bit here of Ronald Reagan with Speaker O'Neill at a dinner honoring O'Neill in 1986.
I think the fact of our friendship is testimony to the political system that we're part of and the country we live in, a country which permits two not so shy and not so retiring Irishmen to have it out on the issues rather than on each other or their countrymen.
Senator Lott, is that kind of a relationship possible when you've got Congress coming in and saying our number one goal is to make Barack Obama a one-term president?
Well, that's not helpful, but yes, it is still possible. I think that Reagan and Tip O'Neill were, you know, kind of exceptions to the rule. They had a great relationship, but they also wanted to get things done for the country. I always talk about the fact that Tip O'Neill let President Reagan have a vote on his budget and tax policies. He didn't even have to do that. I don't think he expected Reagan and the Republicans to win, but he gave us the opportunity. That's the way government should work. Have a great debate. Have amendments. And then have a vote and try to get some things done for the country.
Senator Daschle, you mentioned the airplane. This is something that you talk about in this book. I found that very interesting, the idea that because people can now go over to Reagan National Airport, get on a flight, go back to their home district so easily that the Senate work week sometimes is, what, 2 or 3 days in the course of the week, that people aren't spending any time with their colleagues getting to know one another, and it makes it more difficult for them to work together.
That's exactly right. People leave on Thursday, they come back on Tuesday and try to run the country on Wednesday. There isn't enough time to legislate. Not only is there not enough time for that, they don't have the same relationships that Trent and I had the good fortune to develop. And without that relationship, you don't have the trust. Without the trust, you don't have the environment to make the deals and to make the agreements and to find the common ground. That's laborious. That takes time. That takes real effort. But if you're not in Washington, there's no way you can do it.
But then you've got political ads that rail against politicians for being in Washington too much. This is a radio ad that was run against Kansas Senator Pat Roberts just in 2014.
Pat Roberts has been in Washington 47 years. Can you name anything he's done? Immigration? Obamacare? The national debt?
So he was under fire because he spends so much time in Washington. Is there any going back on that? Can we get to a point where politicians are able to spend more time in Washington without being hit for it?
The job is in Washington. Yes, you have to communicate with and listen to your constituents. You need to go back. I went back and forth every other weekend for 17 years. But to go every week and actually spend all of your time back home in your state or your district and then come into Washington a day or two or maybe 9 days a month, you just can't get the job done that way. But I want to get to the broader pictures just a minute before we get into specifics. Communication is so important. You can't communicate if you're not there, for one thing. But Tom and I talk a lot about that. When we were leaders, we communicated all the time. We need the president to talk
you
to Congress.
You had a phone. You had a hotline between each other's offices.
Yes. Yeah. It's a simple thing. It was a red phone. I picked it up, or he picked it up. It rang on his desk or my desk. Nobody else. We didn't have to go through the media. We didn't have to even go through our steps. And quite often, we needed to be able to talk candidly, freely to each other. Sometime, even confessing a mistake, perhaps. But that is so important.
They don't have that phone anymore?
It's gone.
Yeah. And then also the other thing about our relationship, we developed a good chemistry. I respected him always as a leader of his party and his abilities. Then I got to where I trusted him, and we got to where we tried to work together to get some important things done in very difficult times. I mean, you're trying to get things done when you got a 50-50 Senate, 100 senators, equally divided. How do you get results? How do you lead that? So those are a couple of things. But also, we always keep using the word, and I think we need to specify it. You need leadership. You need women and men that are willing to step up and say, we're going to deal with criminal law reform. Follow me as we properly address this issue.
Senator Daschle, what do you think when people say, throw the bums out, just get rid of all of them, the only way to fix this system is just to get rid of everybody who's there?
Well, I understand that frustration, and I think that's really what Donald Trump and others have taken advantage of. Members of Congress have a very low favorability rating right now, in part because of the dysfunction. But the answer isn't to throw everybody out and to bring in people with zero experience. The answer is to create a more civil environment. The answer is to find ways with which to create more of an opportunity to get things done. That's the answer. You can have a whole room full of Donald Trumps or Ted Cruz's. I don't see how that solves the problem, because they're just as cantankerous and just as confrontational and polarizing as anybody I know. So newness doesn't solve the problem. And creating the right environment does. It starts with leadership, communication, inclusion. It means finding ways with which to be able to talk and trust one another.
First of all, there's been a huge turnover in the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
The majority of the House and the Senate have been elected newly in the last 8 years. Hmm. You know what it's led to? You have so few identifiable, what I would call statesmen, or old bulls that know the rules.
And people like Robert Byrd, the late Robert Byrd.
He was we didn't always agree philosophically, but he was a part of the institution. When we were getting ready to go into the impeachment trial of William Jefferson Clinton, we met in the old Senate chamber to decide how we were going to go forward, and I called on Bob Byrd to get up and give us a little perspective of what was our constitutional responsibility, and it set the tone for the meeting, which led to a result.
I want to ask you about one more thing, a really incredible moment of national unity that you were both there for, and that is 9/11. And this is a sound that a lot of people will remember that day when members of Congress came out and sang God Bless America on the steps of the Capitol. Just want to get your thoughts both on that day, because you talk about it in this book, but your experience that day, such an incredible time.
It was just such a time filled with anxiety, and I think it really required leadership and communication, the things we're talking about. And frankly, that may be one of the last times you really saw a clear demonstration where people came to the floor and came to the steps and said, look, we're not Republicans or Democrats, we're Americans. And not coincidentally, favorability rating for Congress was over 80% at that time. Why? Because the American people saw members of Congress working together. leader, addressing the crisis at the time. I think that makes a huge difference, and that's exactly what the American people want to see again.
That was a special moment. That was an incredible day. We could write a book about the experiences that we had together that day.
You were sent to the police station in Washington.
Well, and then we were helicoptered to a remote site where we were given directions from the White House as to what we could or couldn't do, quite frankly. But on the music, I've had people accuse us of saying, that was planned. You guys had rigged that where you were going to sing. It was totally spontaneous. Hmm. In fact, if you look at the video, Tom and I were actually beginning to leave the podium when somebody, one of the men or women, I think, from the House, started to sing in it. And it was a poignant moment I'll never forget.
One part of this book and a lot of interesting ideas on how to fix Washington in this book, including a year of national service. We can't get to it today, but thank you so much to both of you, Senator Tom Daschle and Senator Trent Lott. The book is called Crisis Point, Why We Must and How We Can Overcome Our Broken Politics in Washington and Across America. More at our website, hereandnow.org. Senators, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Jeremy.
You're listening to Here and Now.